warmer than normal, but that's okay. It'll still be a wonderful day for us. We did have an elders meeting this last Tuesday, and just with our transparency, we want to update the congregation of what are some things that we talked about that we got accomplished on Tuesday. So we are in the process of changing our membership application. The application will pretty much stay the same, but we want to make sure that we go over everybody, what does it mean to be a member? Because sometimes people are just like, oh, well, I'm a member. I just have to vote once in a while. There's a lot more to that. And so we're going to kind of roll that out as we interview people and talk about what it means to be a member. So that way people understand that it's not just voting. It's also giving of your time. It's giving of your finances to the church. It's being a part of the church, right? And so we want to make sure that everybody understands what that means to be a member, not just voting once in a while. Also, we are in the process of doing a handbook. So our church currently does not really have a handbook, and we should have one. And so Chrissy, my wife, her company that she works for actually does handbooks. And so I've been working with her, getting that finalized. It's about 90 pages long. So it's a fun process to go through. So if anybody wants to read it and you're like, what is in this? I can give it to you. It's great for bedtime reading. Knocks you right out. Our next senior pastor, we're still looking for that senior pastor. Obviously, we do have one person who we're really talking to that seems like could be a good fit. His name is Mark. We've talked a couple times on the phone. I talked with him for about an hour, a week and a half ago. Seems like a really good guy. He does live in Ohio currently, but we're talking with him a little bit and seeing hopefully that'll lead somewhere. We have Gulshel Lawn as well. I met with him a couple weeks ago. He is going to be coming in September. If you guys remember, he's the guy that comes. He's been to India, all over the world. His company that he works with, his organization, works with 17 different countries. He's just a great guy. So he'll be coming and give us an update as well.
Don't know.
Yeah, and we do support him already. So, yep. So he just likes to come every year and give us an update of what's going on there. We did send out the worship survey a couple weeks ago, probably about a month or so ago now, and we got those results back. We're going to look at those. Myself, Blake, who put that together, and then Sean Kinney as well. We're going to sit down and look at those results and see where the church feels we're doing well and where the church feels like we're not doing that well. So we're going to continue in that area. Youth Church, we had our last official meeting of the school year for Youth Church. We're looking forward to the summertime, a little bit of a break, but we still have some things planned, like we're going to be going to our house next week for a pool party. We're going to go to Minahan's as well. For one of their Wednesday nights, go-karts and mini-golf and stuff like that. So just a lot of fun that we do. If you look down the basement, you might see that there's another chair rack down there. We have a lot of chairs, and they're kind of all over the walls and floors. So there was another chair rack ordered and put together. So now we have two chair racks, and so now they're all nice and organized, so we don't have to worry about them falling if you accidentally hit one, which is good. Two more big things, I think, and then that'll be all. The boiler downstairs, if you've been in the boiler room down there, you may have noticed that there's some water on the floor. That's not normal. Your boiler should not be leaking like that. Unfortunately, it's down underneath in between all the system, and so they have to come in and take pretty much the whole boiler apart and refuse something in there. We're looking at probably about $3,000 to $3,500 to fix it. We're hoping that's all that's wrong with it. If there's something more, then they'll give us more of an update, but pray that that's all that is and we can get that fixed easily. And then the other thing is Baptism Sunday at Canisius Lake on August 3rd. I think I mentioned this last week as well, but we would love to just celebrate with you if you've never been baptized before. What does that look like? And we would love to take that opportunity to discuss that with you. If you're like, I've been baptized before, but I was a child when I was baptized. Well, then let's talk about why you should make that decision as an adult to be baptized. If you've already been baptized as an adult, if you're 15, 16, 17, 25, 35, you don't need to be baptized again. Even if you're like, well, I want to recommit my life. You've already been baptized once. You don't need to be baptized again. But I would love to talk with you about what that means for baptism and why why you should be baptized. Okay? Sound good? Okay. We are busy. We're not doing anything, nothing at all. We're busy doing stuff on those meetings. So, other announcements. Wyatt, if you could pull those up for me. Maybe. Oh, the back TV's off. I'm like looking at the TV, I'm like, they're not there. Anyways, so the announcements are there that you can see. A couple of ones that I want to highlight. The first is this afternoon until 2 o'clock today, some ladies are going to be here at the church. They're going to be doing a fellowship project. They're going to be knitting and crocheting. Starts at 2. Sorry, my bad. Starts at 2. You can show up earlier, but it starts at 2. And the other thing I want to highlight is the Serving at Open Door Mission. That's a wonderful opportunity. If you want to go down and serve, I would encourage you to talk with the Tilsons about that. I know that they go quite often. Please talk with them and find out what that involves. And then the other two things I want to highlight is that the men's group usually meets on Saturday. They're not meeting this week. Bill Tilson sent out an email about that. But does that mean that you just don't do anything? No, I want to encourage you that we have the Stand for Life on Saturday at 9:30. Please talk to Leah about that if you have questions. That's a great opportunity to come and stand for life. And then Katie is going to be having a baby shower, right? Katie's pregnant, in case you haven't noticed. She is pregnant, and so this will be their third child, so they're super excited about that. But Rita O'Hare is going to be hosting a baby shower for her at church on June 29th. This is for ladies. So ladies, you can come. And if you do plan on coming, please talk to Rita, RSVP to her, so that way she knows that you're going to be there so she can plan for how much food to bring and stuff like that. Okay? And then the last announcement that I want to highlight to you is Kids Ministry. Elizabeth Schaff is going to be hosting a Kids Ministry Workday this coming June 25th is Wednesday, right? Yes. This coming Wednesday from 10 to 4. She's going to be here most of the day. So if you're like, yes, I want to come out and help her, just going to be organizing, cleaning, making sure the rooms are ready for the summer, and just making the church look nicer and just helping her organize. So we'd love to have whoever can come out. You can bring your lunch. You can hang out all day, or you can just show up for an hour if you have an hour to spare. Okay. Otherwise, let's get ready to worship our Lord and Savior. So if our worship team can come on up, let's pray, and then we'll worship. Dear Heavenly Father, we just look to you as our God. We look to you as our Lord and Savior. We are so thankful that you've called each of us here today, Lord, that it's not by accident, but that it is by you calling us, Lord. And so we come together in this church, in this building, Lord, but we recognize that that's not what the church is. The church is all of us here together, Lord. So we come together, we want to worship you and praise you, and just know that you are our God that we love and cherish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us for a time of worship.
Lord God, we lift all these prayer requests, Lord, up to you. And we ask that during this time that if our hearts are out of whack, Lord, that you'll just realign our hearts with yours, that we'll see your heart and know that you're leading us, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your goodness that surrounds us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Blake, for playing along with us this morning. We have a special guest this morning here with us. Tony Saxon is in the house. Chocolate Thunder, some of you may know him as well. That's not my name for him. That's his own name. So we're excited for him. But before we get into what Tony Saxon's going to come up and bring, we have a video that Wyatt's going to pull up. So Wyatt, if you could get that ready, and then we'll have Tony come on up after that.
Thank you. are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Kevin, if you grab my Bible for me, please, I'd appreciate it. I might be back in the saddle a little bit too soon. Okay. It's always a blessing to be with you folks, even without Kevin. I told Kevin, listen, he's going to have to go further than Connecticut to get away from me. We'll be visiting him soon. Amen. But at least his dad is still behind. Oh. I don't have to repeat all that, do I? Okay. Test, test, test. Can you hear me now? Could you hear me before?
The battery's on a little low, so it's fine.
Okay. Listen, my wife, you guys know who I am, Chocolate Thunder, right? For some who don't think I'm dark enough to be chocolate, I'm a pecan tan. How's that? But anyhow, Brown Sugar's not here. And so she sent somebody to watch after me. She sent my bodyguard, Kevin. This is my little brother in the Lord, amen? And so Kevin travels with me. We're getting to like each other a lot. But anyhow, we're glad to be here, amen? The last time I was here, I promised a couple that I would make a visit with a member they had in the hospital. I don't know if that couple is here. They were sitting on, listen, I want to apologize to you. I've made a lot of hospital visits, but only because I was going to the hospital a lot. As a matter of fact, I'm still recovering from a minor stroke that I had in February, but I do apologize for not making that visit. How's that person doing, by the way? Okay. But we can talk again afterwards, okay? All right, so you do forgive me. Thank you. All right. I want to give you some update on the Gladiators Ministry. Who remembers the Gladiators Ministry? Okay, we're still in developing stages with that, and it's going to be constant developing, okay? Now, we did an event yesterday. We called it God's Gladiators Presents. What we did, we did a neighborhood function, and what we called it was Happy Belated Fathers and Mothers Day. How many of you know that every day should be Father's Day and Mother's Day. Anybody disagree? I didn't think so. Well, anyhow, that worked out really good, didn't it, Kevin? This summer, we're going to be doing another Gladiators Present, and we're trying to promote that ministry in the city, and we're calling it God's Gladiators Presents. We're going to have a five-day vacation Bible school. Not only are we going to do that, we're going to also have a tent meeting. We're getting at least 10 churches involved with five-day tent meeting, and then we're going to culminate that with a festival at the end of the week. And we will keep you guys informed so you can keep us in prayer about that. Amen? All right. And so without any further ado, we'll get into the message today that we've chosen for such a time as this. I've talked to Josh about this. I apologize for not sending notes ahead of time, but a very practical lesson. And before I talk too long, too much, we'll get you out of here by 11:30. Set your watch. All right. If we go any further than that, we'll just yield to the Spirit. Amen. But anyhow, by way of introduction, the our opening prayer is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17-21. And it's something like this. Father, we bow our knee to you, dear God. We pray that you strengthen us with might by your Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, so that we can be rooted and grounded in your love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of your love, the vastness of your love. And that, Lord, we might be able to know by experiencing the love of Christ that passes knowledge, so that we can love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that we can love our neighbors as we love ourselves, so we can love one another the way you love us, so that we can love the lost enough to tell them about your love. And so, Lord, that we can love our enemies as well, just like you do. Father, we pray, dear Father, that you'll help us by your Spirit to experience, to express this love, so that you will do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think or pray or say, through the power of the Spirit of Christ, who works to perfect us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, I believe that a message on unity should be preached at least once a year in every church, especially today, because the spirit behind disunity is in the world, has infiltrated the church. The devil knows that the gates of hell can't prevail against the church from the inside. So he will do the best to try to encourage us to implode from within. Having been a pastor for 22 years, I know that by experience. The Lord said that a house divided against itself will not stand. Not even Satan's kingdom will stand. The same is true for any organization, any team, any family or local church. These principles on unity will work for the employee, for the athlete, for the father, the pastor, and more. Beloved, as an evangelist with the heart of a pastor, having been a pastor for 22 years with the heart of an evangelist, I'm here to motivate, challenge, and encourage you not to minimize the importance of unity. Not to say that you are, but I've been around churches for a long time. You know, and Satan is no joke. He'll do anything that he can, especially these last days. You know, I believe it's in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And a cross-reference can be over in Revelation chapter 12. The Word of God says the devil knows his time is short. So he's going to try his best, his dead level best, to try to wear out the saints. Can I get an amen? So I'm here to motivate, challenge, and encourage you. Don't minimize the importance of unity. You know, you're going through a transition time now. You're seeking another pastor, amen? God has called the other pastor away. You know, he's just an under-shepherd. God is still the pastor of this church. Amen? And he's going to send you somebody in his own time. Amen? But in the meantime, try to do your best to not allow the enemy to cause division, because he will try. The title of the text for our message is Ephesians 4:16. I didn't ask you to put that on the screen, but you can if you don't mind. Ephesians 4:16. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. No, that's not, is it? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of. The verse I had in mind was this. It's up there somewhere. And we didn't practice that, so we're not real polished. Okay. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What's that verse is making reference to, obviously, is this. And that's the King James English. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But I'm too old to change now. Amen? But anyhow, the verse implies this. From whom the whole body of believers in this local church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, maketh increase of the body of the edifying of itself in love. We're all responsible for the increase, or the edification of the unity of this particular body. Amen? And we're not just talking about the unity, a man-made unity. We're talking about the only unity that the Father will have respect for, and that's the unity of the Spirit. We need to endeavor, work hard at keeping unity. We don't have to create unity. We were unified when we were placed in the body of Christ. Amen? What we have to do is endeavor to keep it, because it's always under attack. The devil is a doctor of disunity. He is a doctor of depression. He is a doctor of the deadly deeds, discouragement, despondency, disunity. We can go on and on and on. Amen? The theme contained in our message is that we must endeavor to keep the unity that only can be produced by the Holy Spirit. A subtitle or text would be Psalms 133. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now listen, I didn't say that. God did. God wants to see his children, especially, dwell together as a unified body. Apart from the help of the Holy Spirit, we cannot experience the type of unity that God wants us to experience. Not only in glory, but even before we get up there. Can I get an amen? Are you guys just tired? Or are you tired of me already? All right. Well, praise the Lord. I'm an amener. You don't have to amen. Listen, if you don't amen, I will. Okay. Praise the Lord. If you'll turn with me to John chapter, well, brother, why don't you put it on the screen, John chapter 17, and let's start in verses 20 through 26. John 17, verses 20 through 26. Now, a lot of people call John chapter 17, I'm sorry, a lot of people call Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 14, the Lord's Prayer. Listen, I beg to differ. I don't think that's the Lord's Prayer. I think that is the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17, the one he personally prayed. Amen? And as we look at John chapter 17, listen, this was not rehearsed, and Josh, it's not your fault because you told me. He said, Tony, if you need some help on the screen, let me know ahead of time. And I'm not very organized. But anyhow, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 17. John 17. God, the Lord is helping me out because I turned right to the book of John. All right. Thank you, Lord. And we'll start in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. I want you to watch this word oneness. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be one, made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, my greatness, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Listen, this prayer gets you into heaven. Jesus prayed that we would be with him in glory. And that's the only way we get in there, is by him. Amen? O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and those have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and would declare it, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is typically a three-part message, and I'm going to condense it down to 45 minutes. So I'm going to be moving quite kind of quickly, okay? Are you with me? I know some of you looking at the notes, you wonder, how long is this pastor going to be up here, all right? So I'm telling you ahead of time. A one-word definition for unity is oneness. Jesus prayed for us to experience a oneness experienced by the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the ultimate intimate love relationship for Christians to experience. The epitome of all other relationships. The Lord Jesus not only prayed for this relationship, he also paid for it with his life. Then he placed or put or baptized believers into the spiritual body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. That's the essence of Christianity, a loving relationship our Lord created us and saved us for to experience today and throughout eternity. You folks know where I'm going with this. God has blessed us with a oneness, a unity. Being born, from the moment we are born into the body of Christ, the moment we are saved, the moment we are baptized or placed in the same body with all believers. Listen, I am your big, brown, pecan tan brother from another mother for all eternity. You got to get used to me, folks, because I'm going to be around for a while. But all kidding aside, we are one in the body. And God wants us to experience that oneness in this life. Satan doesn't want that. That's why we need to be careful to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. We have to work hard because the devil is going to try to divide us. I mean, he'll use anything to divide us. He'll cause division over the carpet or the color of their pews or, whether you got pews or not. Anything that he can use. And nobody's a match for the devil but Jesus. You know, I tell you what, brother, with my experience, some of the more seasoned saints caused me more trouble than anybody else as a pastor. We used to have, I don't know what your governing body is like here, but being a Baptist, we had, for elders, we had deacons. And there were times when we had what we called, I didn't call them deacons meetings, I called them demons meetings. Because we didn't always get along the way that, God would have us to get along. We had people that thought they had better ideals than the pastor, and some of them were. But, I had to grow up too. Amen? But anyhow, the point I'm trying to make is each one of us has to be careful to endeavor to keep the unity of spirit. We're not going to always agree on everything. And some things we're going to have to agree to disagree. Amen? But if we rely on the Spirit of God, he'll give us all the direction that we need. Amen? To be unified. And I'm not only speaking to leadership. I'm talking about anybody in the body. I had to learn this. That God doesn't always just speak through the leadership. Now, I'm not trying to get you in trouble with this, Josh. But there's some very capable people that God might speak through and to. And we need to listen to everybody. We don't need to listen to nonsense. But we need to listen. Can I get an amen? Oh, I mean a hearty amen. All right, we'll move on before I get in trouble. Okay, now listen, on your worksheet, what I did was I folded the worksheet in half. You got a worksheet, right? I folded it in half. That way we can take notes on top of your Bible or whatever, however you choose to do this. But the first point would be the prayer for unity. Does everybody have a worksheet? The prayer for unity. The second point is Paul's plea. Paul's plea for unity. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. We'll kind of keep those up here on the screen. If not, we'll turn in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. So the first point on your sheet should be prayer for unity. Jesus' prayer for unity. He prayed for us to be unified. That's what that prayer is all about in John chapter 17. The second point is this, Paul's plea, and these are all P's. I like P's because P's are powerful and they pop, okay? All right, Paul's plea for unity. That's the second point. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Apostle Paul prays for unity in verses 1 through 3. He says, the Apostle Paul, speaking by the Spirit of Christ, says to walk in lowliness or humility. Only by pride cometh contention. It takes two to tangle. Amen? He said he wants us to walk in meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It's Christ-likeness. He was meek and lowly in heart. He was submissive. He had power over, but it was under control. Paul also prays that we should walk in meekness or in long-suffering. Long-suffering, another word for long-suffering is patience, but I call it supernatural patience because it's beyond human control. Are you with me? He wants us to walk in forbearance, restrained from taking action or fighting back in love. Charity or love, a love of God, covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean that we have to put up with sin. You must know how to handle it in love. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Are you still with me? Walk in the Spirit, according to Ephesians 1, 2, 3. So you can experience, embrace, and express the fruit of the Spirit. Christ's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc., etc. If you don't, you'll walk in the flesh, and there will be division regardless of who you are not exempt. Once again, I remember once I had difficulty with our leadership team, being a young pastor. And this is back in the early 90s. And so we called a mentor. It was a pastor friend of mine over at Open Door Baptist Church in Scottsville. And he came over, and he listened to the arguments that we had. And he said, listen, folks, and I'm telling you the same thing in case you don't know it. You don't have to create unity. We've already been unified in the body of Christ. Amen? What we need to do is endeavor to keep it, to work hard at keeping the unity, because Satan is going to try to divide you. He's going to try to divide you in reference to the next person that God wants to bring in here to pastor this flock. You got to be in prayer. You got to be listen to the Holy Spirit. You want to be on one accord. You want to be able to agree to disagree. And you won't always like the same right choices. There's probably people already left when Kevin left. I don't know. But Kevin, being the man of God that I know that he is, he was always careful to try to point you beyond himself and point you to Jesus. Can I get an amen? Folks, all I'm trying to do is encourage you. Endeavor to keep the unity that is provided by the Holy Spirit. The next point, this is point number 3, the proclamation. The proclamation of unity is a statement of faith. And that's verses Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verses 4 through 6. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What's the point here? There's one body, that's the body of Christ, not many bodies. One Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. One hope in your calling. one destiny to be with Christ eternally. He is our hope. He is a blessed hope. He is our expectation. One Lord, Jesus, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Can I hear an amen? One faith, that's the Christian faith that he's talking about. Are you still with me? One baptism. That's the spiritual baptism that is pictured by the physical baptism. Are you with me? One God. That's the triune God, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And one Father who is above all and through all and in you all, if you are born again into the family of God. Now these are the tenets of the faith, foundations we must build our faith on. Our statement of faith must be built on these proclamations. If not, our faith has no basis, no banner to unite us. These are the tenets of the faith. The next point, I told you I'm moving quickly. We see the provision of gifts for unity. Provision, Roman numeral number 4 on your paper. Provision of gifts for unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. There's a lot here. I said I'm going to move quickly. But unto every one of us, verse 7, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, we ascended up on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men and women and boys and girls, if we have any problem with gender here, and I don't think so. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also who ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Here's the point. God has given each one of us gifts. He's given us enablements. He's given us parts of himself. And he hasn't given us all the same gifts. Why does he do that? To enable us to help each other become like Jesus. Folks, we need one another. You're my brother. You're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will walk until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us if we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Everybody in the body is somebody and is needful to the body. You might think that you're an armpit. You might think you don't want to see my toes. You might think you're a toe. You might think you're a bicep. And you are. But everybody in the body is needful to the body. And Jesus has given us the gifts, the enablements to be able to help one another to become like Jesus. That's the purpose of the church, folks. We are to help each other become like our Lord. And everybody in the body has the capability of doing that. You know, and there's a lot being said in this portion of Scripture. We don't have time to exegete the Scriptures to break them all down. Not now. I'm sure that Josh is going to help you to do that. Or somebody's going to come and help you to do that at some point. You can do it on your own. But just know that God has given us gifts. And try to find out what your gifts are. You know, some people think I can sing pretty good. That's one gift. I'm not a very good administrator, am I, brother? I need help there. And there's gifts of administrations. There's all different type of gifts. I don't think that we can put a science on all the gifts. Now, the Bible mentions, I don't know, 12 or 14 different gifts, but there's more than that. I'm just here to tell you and remind you that there's some very gifted people here because God has given you the enablements, the gifts, the ability to help each other become like Jesus. And those gifts are primarily given not necessarily for you, But they're giving to that person that's sitting next to you, for that person's purpose of sitting next to you, that person that's behind you, that person that's in front of you. So that you can help each other become like Jesus. I call this young man my little brother. I love him to pieces. I wish he would move in my house with me. No, I'm serious. The family loves him. He's not gifted in a whole lot of different areas. But boy, I tell you what, he's got a gift for people. You know, he really administers a gift of love. He really does. And I love him to pieces. He really is my bodyguard because he protects me from making a fool out of myself sometimes. But everybody in the body is very significant for the body. We need each other. For the sake of time, let's look at the next point. God has given us people, Roman numeral 5, people given us gifts to promote unity. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Perfecting or the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. How long? Till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, woman, boy, or girl, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. I mean to grow up. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, the false teaching, by the sleight of men. You know, crooks, man, who try to take advantage of you. You know, and I'm not going to pick on anybody, but I will say this. Watch this prosperity doctrine that tells you that God doesn't want you sick, that God doesn't want you poor. God wants us to prosper. He wants us, rather, our soul to prosper. And he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What more can we ask? You are blessed and highly favored. But speaking the truth in love, he wants us to grow up and be able to speak the truth in love. Let your words be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may grow up into all things and to him which is ahead. He wants us to come to a place of Christ-likeness. And he's given us gifts. He's given us a charge. He's given us a commission. And it's not just for the elders. It's not just for the pastor. Or this young man is filling in for the head shepherd around here. I talked to him briefly. I said, listen, man, what about you as a candidate? And he told me what he felt. He said, listen, I'm in agreement with that, with the choice that was made. And I admire him for the humility that I saw in him the first time I came here and still seeing him now. His time is not only coming, his time is now. God has placed you to be here, brother, at such a time as this. And don't look beyond where God has placed you right now. Please, sir. Take a tip from the older man. You know, they got a song for me. You know what they call me? Old Man River. He just keeps rolling. You knew I was going to walk, didn't you? I've known that brother right there longer than I've known his son. He's been ministering to me for years. But anyhow, just know everybody in the body is significant to the body. And listen, let me tell you this, for as a warning, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And if you're not humble enough, he knows how to humble you. You know, I tell you, brother, I didn't mean this is kind of like a bunny trail, but I'm watching the time, so I got another 15 minutes. Anybody know where R-Wing is? It's the psychiatric center at the hospital. A couple years ago, I spent 7 days up there. I said, well, what's a pastor doing up in R-Wing? I'm glad you asked. Can I have permission to do this? Okay. Good shepherd. I'll be careful. For years, I've been diagnosed with a disorder called a bipolar disorder. I was told by some very professional people that my highs are too high and my lows are too low. You see me on a high. You haven't seen me, but Kevin saw me when I was a kid, when I used to go preach at the school that he went to. And this is why he liked me so much. I used to jump over the pews. I'd get on the pews, I'd walk the pews, I jumped over the pews. The principal didn't like me that much, but the kids did. I was on a high. But Kevin never saw my lows, the depression. I get so depressed that I wouldn't leave the house. Would that surprise you? Not knowing me, it probably would surprise you. And so I had been diagnosed as being bipolar. Well, fast forward, it took decades. I came to a place where I was having an issue with high blood pressure. And it got so bad, my blood pressure had gotten over 252 over 100 something. After taking me to the hospital for three days in a row, the third day, in the emergency ward, the head doctor came to me and said, sir, would you mind going to the psychiatric center for further evaluation? And I said, no. I said, I'm not going to be under some mad scientist's care. I'm not going to let them shoot me with all kinds of psychotropic drugs. My daughter, being a graduate nurse, she said, Dad, you need to comply. And I said, no, I will not comply. You're my daughter. Be quiet. And she said, why don't you call Pastor, you know, your pastor friend of yours? And I said to myself, I said, you know, he's going to tell me not to listen to any quack doctors. He doesn't believe in psychotropic drugs. And so I called him. You know what he told me, that rascal? He said, Tony, you're dying. I'm praying for you. Tony, people are praying for you all over the place. You're dying, man. They told me that my tropamines, who's a nurse? Did I say that right? Tropamines is something, some kind of enzymes that they test. Troponin tripped 6 times. I was on my deathbed. He said, Tony, you're dying. God sent you a boat, Tony. Get in the boat. I got in the boat. Reluctantly, God humbled me. That was one of the most wonderful experiences I've had in my entire life. The doctor came back. The head doctor came back to me. He said, Tony, listen, we've tested you. MRIs, scans, all kind of tests. Echocardiogram. Said, we don't think that you have the bipolar disorder. But let me show you what this blood pressure has been doing to your brain for decades, Tony. You've destroyed brain cells. Your brain is confused. Your hormones are bouncing all over the place. He said, man, you're more in danger of vascular dementia. He said, man, if you have a heart attack and die, you'd be blessing a whole lot of people, because if you get dementia, who's going to take care of your big butt? He was pretty straight with me. So what's the moral of the story? I still struggle with extreme highs and lows from time to time. A lot of it has to do with behavioral management. But it's also a thorn in the flesh. It's something that God has given me to keep me humble so that I can trust in His strength, rely on Him to control my emotions, to control my life. The conclusion is this. Praise God for the thorn.
Amen.
Whatever God has to use you to keep you humble, to keep you focused on Him, it might be your husband. It might be your wife. It might be your kids. Are you with me, folks? Now, I'm not deviating too much from the message. I got another 10 minutes, maybe 15. But anyhow, point I'm trying to make is God is in control. He's in control of His body, each and every one of us. Let Him lead us, guide us, direct us, to help us to endeavor to keep the unity that He's always already given us in the body of Christ by His Spirit. I used to use this cane because it made me cool. But now I use it because I ain't no fool. I'll fall down. And I dare you try to pick me up at 275 pounds. But anyhow, the next P is the pleasure of unity. Psalms 133. I won't have time to exegete this. But Psalms 133. Very familiar portion of scripture. I will say this. I've got a great family. But we're not as close as we could be and should be. So even as I talk about this whole concept of unity, it not only applies to the church, and I mentioned this earlier, this applies to the family as well. We need, as a family, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in our families. I'm looking around. And if you have a perfect family, if you tell me your family is perfect, I would have to tell you, listen, you're lying. Well, maybe you're mistaken. I'll be polite. I don't know if it's possible. Now, we've got a good family. I was with my family last night. And all of my family members, we pretty much live in the same area. We're not as unified the way that God wants us to be unified. Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for my children. Can I read it that way? Okay, sweet, I'm almost done, honey. You're not the only one crying up in here. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren, my children, to dwell together in unity. You know what I see here? I see the Lord said, hey, Gabriel, Michael, come over here. Look at my children. They're unified. They're loving one another. They're praying for one another. They're not backbiting and dividing one another. They're washing each other's feet. All the one anotherings in the Bible. God is bragging on his children. How good and how pleasant it is for me and for them, for my children, to dwell with one another in unity, in perfect harmony. He goes down, he spells it out. He said, what is it like? It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commandeth the blessing, even life forevermore. Where does God command his blessing? In the place where his people are dwelling together in unity. When his people are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. He gives us a clear picture of what that looks like. The next P is going to be the picture of unity. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. I'm still looking at the clock. And I'm still listening to the Spirit. Everybody okay? I'll just read through this. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Here's a picture of that unity that the Lord is talking about. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Commonality, not communism. Make that clear. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to that church, to the church daily, such as should be saved. God is looking for his children to dwell together in unity. That's where he's going to command his blessing, even life forevermore. Get the picture? The next P, for the sake of time. Let Let me say this before I move on. They were devoted to the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching before the completion of the scriptures. They were devoted to fellowship, the mutual sharing of the love and life of Christ together. They met each other's needs sacrificially, being constrained by the love of Christ. They had all things common. They were governed by communism and not communism. They had corporate worship and breaking bread together, communion. They ate meat, meals together. They prayed together. They praised God together. Outreach, not just inreach, because the Lord was adding to that church daily. Those who were being saved, everyone was involved in evangelism, not just the leaders, but the believers lived the faith out publicly. Dr. Tony Evans says, their public love, devotion, joy, ministry, and testimony convinced the unbelievers to trust the Lord. The Holy Spirit will cause amazing things to happen when the church is unified in its devotion to God and its members. Beloved, why was such a dynamic church? Because, like Aaron, the high priest in Psalms 133, the Spirit of God rested on them. As they endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, that's where the Lord commanded his blessing, even life forevermore. Principle, Roman numeral number 9, principle producing unity of one anothering. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's one anothering. Praying for one another. You know one another is in the Bible. You know that by now. I don't have to give you a list. Matter of fact, maybe you should study the Bible and look at every one of those and take and measure yourself by that list of one anotherings. Am I doing these things? You see, God's love is very practical, as much practical as it is spiritual. You've heard this before. Action, love is an action word. Amen. The emotions follow the action in the kingdom. The last point is this, the power for unity. We mentioned that. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Folks, I believe that I'm done. And so I'm going to turn it over to Joshua, if I can call you that. But I do want to pray for you before I do. Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for this opportunity to once again be able to come alongside of this pastor to help to equip or to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry of the body of Christ, edifying the building up of the body of Christ. And I hope, dear God, that we were able to do that today just to remind them of how we need to endeavor to keep the unity that only you can provide by your Spirit. Now, Father, time is short, and we don't know, dear God, especially what's going on in Iran today. We don't know how much time is left before you come back and finish your work of perfecting us, of completing us. But, Lord, while there is time, we pray that you'd help us to take time and make time to be that unified body that you want to bless. God, we do pray, dear Father, that if you tarry your coming, that you would bless this congregation with another pastor, at least, that was as good as the one that they just lost. God, we know that you are the shepherd of the sheep. And Lord, all we can do is be under shepherds. We pray, dear God, that the word that went forth today, God, will not fall by the wayside heart or the thorny heart or the stony heart, but that your word, dear God, would take root in a good heart and bear the fruit that you want, dear God, to produce in us today. If there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, some way, somehow, Lord, you would use this message to bring them to a place where they might be unified in Christ. God, thank you for the opportunity. Now I'll get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Kevin, if you'll come and grab my stuff for me. And Josh, thank you, Kevin.